If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Another interesting little nugget is this Governor Pritzker running for the third term. I was kind of surprised, Steve, to hear that no other governor except for, well, there's two that have served more than two terms. I had to admit, I had to look up whether governors were term limited yesterday when I heard the news break. I mean, I assume they weren't once I heard the news, but I was kind of surprised to learn that they weren't.
Yeah, so this one was an easy one for me because as a young reporter, I covered then-Governor Jim Thompson quite a bit. He was selected to four terms as Illinois governor, and I think the other one was Richard Oglesby. But they were not consecutive terms that he was governor, if I understand, if I remember that correctly.
Yeah, it was back in the 1860s. So if your memory's a little hazy, I can forgive you, Steve Kucinich. I actually looked it up, and it's a quirky little thing. So Oglesby, and I knew none of this beforehand. I just looked this all up. Richard Oglesby served in the Civil War as a general. He was one of the first people to endorse Abraham Lincoln and really get behind him. And he ran from governor and served from 1865, right as the Civil War was ending, to 1869. And then he practiced law after that term. He didn't run again. Then he ran in 1872, but he ran under a scheme where he knew that if he won the governorship, he would turn the office over to the lieutenant governor and become the U.S. senator instead. This is back when the state legislatures nominated and put forth senators. So his second term as governor of the state of Illinois was for 10 days. And then he was elected to the U.S. Senate by the state legislators and governor. And then he ran again for governor and won. I think after you pulled that scheme, maybe the state would be like, oh, we're not sending you back to the governor's seat. Well, they did. 1884, he was the first person to be reelected for three times as governor. He served that full term. And that's a little, you know, look, we're giving out nuggets of knowledge to people here today.
This is a lot.
I don't know if in your voice, if I can tell that's a good thing or a bad thing, Steve.
Well,
but
I'm taking notes.
Yeah, please.
I'm taking notes.
I anticipate you incorporated all this into your news reports for the subsequent 2 days that that Bob is here, okay?
We'll have it in the 9 o'clock news.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. That's your little history of Richard Oglesby. We'll continue the history lesson with our good friend Anna DeVellantes about this week in Chicago history. I got to clear this up really quickly. We're getting a bunch of texts, people saying, that's not the history of Governor Oglesby. I was referring to Governor Oglesby, and a couple of people were like, it's not Oglesby, it's Oglesby. No, we had both. We had an Oglesby elected three times in the 19th century, and we had Richard Oglesby, who was our 35th governor. So I hope that clears it up. Everything that you heard about the whole Senate thing and everything, that was Oglesby. Boy, I've caused more problems than I intended to here today. I'm sorry, everyone, for offending you about Oglesby versus Oglesby. But there we go. Anna DeVellantes, save me. It's This Week in Chicago History. How are you doing, my friend? Good to chat with you.
I just love that Chicagoans love and are so proud of our Chicago history. That's one of the reasons I do this segment.
But oh, yeah. They're proud and defensive, and I'm right there with them if I hear something I don't think is right.
That's right. That ain't right, John. I'm going to let him know. And please correct everything in this segment and send all letters to John Hanson, courtesy of WGN.
We fix it for the live broadcast, Anna. Don't worry. So it gets edited in post-production and put on out there, right? What do we got today? Let's start things off with some history of a man we love.
Yeah, Michael Jordan, right? This week marks not only one of the most magical moments in recent Chicago history, I think it's fair to say, John, but perhaps, well, actually, one of the most iconic moments in American sports history ever. Michael Jordan's final game in a Bulls uniform. Think back to that time. I can guess that a lot of people listening right now to WGN Radio will remember maybe where they were in this moment for the final game of Jordan's career as in a Bulls uniform. Do you remember?
Yeah, the Bulls were a big part of my childhood. I was 14. I was just back from our Canadian fishing trip, and I made it back just in time for this moment.
Isn't that funny how you remember? You probably almost even remember the smell in the room. It's just so interesting.
It smelled like walleye. We had brought a lot of it back, so...
Ew. Oh, maybe if it was fresh, I guess that's okay. But, you know, a couple days old, it gets a little, you know.
Yeah, right.
But I remember, too, and I'm guessing a lot of people, quite a few people listening, well, everyone who watched that game will remember Michael Jordan's final shot in the final seconds of that game with the Bulls trailing by three, as you'll recall, after John Stockton hit that powerful three, and the Bulls were down 86-83. There was a timeout, then enter Michael Jordan, five-time NBA champion, on his way to number six. We pulled the clip from that moment in Chicago history.
All right. The good times kept rolling after that. Oh, wait, not so much.
Yeah, right. Maybe you won't remember everything that happened after the game because there was a lot of celebrating, I'm told, that happened in the city. But just one of the most watched NBA game ever, and just so awesome to see the Bulls pull their second three-peat, right? And the city was just electrified.
It was insane.
Cool thing to remember.
For sure. Yeah, what's up next?
All right, we've got Cindy Crawford. Okay, Cindy Crawford, one of the top models of all time, and she's from DeKalb, as a lot of people know. And this week, 1985, John, this is interesting. She signed a major modeling contract with Elite Model Management in Chicago. She had been doing local catalog work, you know, while student at Northwestern, engineering student. And she went on this photo shoot now with like some of the top photographers of all time. Victor Skrzypniewski, a local photographer, was legendary fashion photographer, and started to shoot her, and she got noticed. Elite Model Management was one of the top agencies in the world at that time, and she quickly became one of the stars. She was then signed with the New York agency, the headquarters, but still living in Chicago at this time when she appeared with the head of the modeling agency, John Casablancas, on Oprah Winfrey Show. He was talking about this big future he saw for this young 20-year-old up-and-coming model named Cindy Crawford. Yeah, and she's a valedictorian. She's an electrical engineering grad, a major at Northwestern. So she has a couple options there, but I think you can say she chose wisely. Less than a year later, John, she was on the cover of Vogue and just became one of the most recognizable and highly paid models in the world.
I met her last year.
I
met her. She was at the Chris Chelios retirement of the jersey number ceremony. She came down shoot the puck. She made it on one under the ice. She gave me a nice kiss on the cheek afterwards.
What?
The most wasted kiss of all time in history, I'm sure. A lot of guy friends were like, come on, you got a kiss from Cindy Crawford?
Get kiss from Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, right. That was cool, though.
What a cool story.
Yeah.
That is so awesome. I didn't know she was here recently. That's so cool.
Yeah, visiting again. And last but not least, a really interesting story about something I think that we, you know, I have a family of firefighters. I didn't know this little nugget about where that infamous pole came from.
I was wondering if you did, because I know you do come from a family of firefighters, and I was like, John will appreciate this one, but the invention of the fire pole was a Chicago invention, and the first recorded use of it was acknowledged this week in 1878 in a newspaper, a local newspaper, at Engine Company 21 on the city's south side, an all-black fire crew. There was George Reed, who's a firefighter on that team, and he developed the breakthrough of using a fire pole when his crew was called out. There's a fire alarm, and he went down a pole. The pole was there because they slept on the third floor, and they had this pole that went all the way down to the first floor because the baled hay would be stored up there, and they toss it down through this to get, you know, for the horses. And so it's interesting that it just happened to be there. And one time during a call, he just jumped on the pole, slid down, and he got there faster than anybody else. So he reported it to the up aboves, and he said, hey, let's take a look at this. This could be something. You know, it's really efficient. Captain David Kenyon in Chicago witnessed it firsthand. He said, this is working. Let's do it. And he ordered fire poles to be installed in every Chicago firehouse.
Wow.
Then it just took off nationwide.
So, I love that. That's great.
Cool.
My dad installed one on our treehouse, too, just because of a firefighter connection. Yeah, it was cool.
I know firefighters will tell you sometimes they gave them bad backs, so they did start eliminating them because they were causing some, you know, joint pains and things like that for, you know, the repetitively going down the pole. But for many years, that was standard fare. So pretty cool.
Awesome. Anna DeVantis, it's good to check out with you again with This Week in Chicago History. Take care.
You too, John. Thanks.